This is episode 175 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales, and today I'm joined by Marcel. Is the paint dry yet? Manzano. It's the people. What?
Oh, I've got to use words. I've seen that video. Marcel, use your words. No comment on that. Make up your own.
Whatever you want. Choose your own adventure on that one, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Will, just like Beggar's Canyon back home, Hagwood.
Oh, man. I wish I could be flying a T-16 Skyhopper.
And Ryan, I feel like Dion Staniszewski.
Yep. Making content for something you want to spend more hours actually playing.
Well, yeah, I feel you. Been there, done that. So, super excited today. We're going to get to all the plans for today. But if you're just joining us, and if you're listening and not watching live, we have our podcast. And then after we're done with the podcast, it'll be around 10 p.m. Central. We're jumping into our first ever Squadron stream. We're going to be joined by Wade Pache. He's going to be our fifth today. And we'll be cycling through some different guests. And should be a good time. As for announcements and news, if you haven't heard, we got the Twitch partnership. So super excited about that. If you hadn't noticed, you guys have like a million emotes that you guys can use. I think I put like 20 in there for right now, including you can have your own little fleet battles in the in the chat if you would like. And should be nice and fun. Also, just remember that with the Twitch partnership, we're still planning on keeping that's the same expected schedule content. They're not changing the stream schedule, though. Now we have more freedom to do other things, such as play Squadrons on stream. Like, we can have that fun with you guys in our community who are interested in that type of content. Super excited about it. Have my joystick and controllers all set up here to the right side. We're ready to have a good time, and we're just excited, and of course, like I said, more emotes. As for Patreon, things are going to start shipping this upcoming weekend, and I'm hoping to reveal the next wave of gifts in the next couple weeks during the Ryloth stream. That's when I'm going to be unveiling the next Patreon wave of gifts. But we're going to jump right into our content today. If you hadn't heard, the Crate Galactic Championship qualifier happened this last weekend, and we have a lot of lists that we're going to be looking at. With the added wave, there was definitely quite a few changes that happened in the meta. And yes, spoilers alert, Nantex did win, but it was not a double Nantex final, and there are definitely some interesting lists that we want to talk about today. So we're going to be starting right here with number... If you look at the listing, he's actually listed as 33rd because he had to drop out for the cup. We did have a Nantex here with Felipe who had to step out of the cut. And then our Cinderella story, Colton, Jude Allen Ray, gives us one of our representations of the Psy Shuttle. Malrus with Agent Terex and six Epsilon Squadron Cadet FOs. If you guys haven't heard, Malrus is a fantastic swarm leader, just being able to give those rerolls to friendly ships. Mind you, it is a must. And if and when you play this in person, you best have a lot of strain tokens because you're going to need it. You're going to need them. All righty. So, Will, let's go ahead and get the party started. We'll go Will, Ryan, Marcel, and me and just keep them rolling. William, you are muted, and I know you're reading that so good.
I would said the name completely correct, even. This is Carlos Garcia Lazo.
Uh-huh.
Flying the Rebel Alliance with Wedge, Ten Nub, Blount, Bandit, and AP5. Looks like there was an auto blaster fire control system. Marksmanship on 10 and crack shots on Wedge and Blount. This looks very similar to we saw like World's Runner Up, the B Wing with kind of some C95s and Wedge. Just replacing the utility of Jake for AP5 to get some double shots in there. Still a nasty swarm that can hit hard.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see this type of rebel archetype. It's one that hasn't been around lately for much, but it obviously proves that it can do something. It can definitely do something. All right, let us continue here. Ryan, go ahead and take the next two.
All right, we have Evan Paul running the Rebel Alliance, 4 Kashyyyk Defender Azatok gunships, and AP5, definitely one of the best Rebelists, maybe the best Rebelist right now, just because of how well it could keep the shots up on the Nantaks, because they have that full 180 arc and 3 dice on each of them, and then AP5 allowing for that really good coordinate.
And then take the next one too.
Okay, I didn't know if you want to say anything after that, but okay. So next one, Curtis Fraley, the First Order, running, Commander Maurus in the Z Shuttle with Agent Terex, and then 6 FO Cadets.
Yeah, pretty. That's very similar to what we saw earlier. It's a great archetype. Marcel, go ahead, take the next two.
All right, we got Zach Huffines, flying a Scum and Villainy ship, coming in at Captain Nim in the Skurg with an ion cannon turret, veteran turret gunner, proton bombs, and hull upgrade. Interesting, didn't go for the launching them, but obviously played well enough to make it this far. Dengar with Greedo, Contraband, Punishing One, and R5 P8. And Cavill with Marksmanship, Dorsal Turret, Veteran Turret Gunner, R4 Astromech, and Concussion Bombs. It looks pretty. 5.56. And Marksmanship's an interesting one with them, but obviously works.
Yeah, the marksmanship on Cavill, I guess if you're intending to always shoot out the front, you're just being aggressive, right? You're just going, eat my Y-Wing. You're paying 1 point for it. And the next one?
Oh. I was just looking at some more, trying to think with Nim. And then the next one is Jonathan Giron, flying Scum again with 191 points, big bid, coming in with Boba Fett, Fearless, 000, Proton Bombs, Contraband, Cybernetic, Ablative Plating, and Marauder. Not the only one we'll see with Marauder today. And then also Captain Nim with Ion, Skilled Bombardier, Proton Bombs, Concussion Bombs, Ablative Plating, Havoc, Trajectory Simulator, and Genius. And I think we're seeing a pattern here, an anti-bug proton bomb, concussion bomb pattern here with these two.
Yeah, this fulfills an archetype similar to what we're going to talk about later when we get to one of the top four lists. It's this thick Boba Fett plus another ship that can do a lot of damage and leave Boba Fett there to be able to clean up. I can imagine that these proton bombs and concussion bombs would have done a lot of work if you played against one of these, a Nantek swarm. But you're gonna lose Nim for sure. Like, that's gonna happen because he's gonna need to be in the thick of it in order to be the most effective. You just gotta make sure you take out enough in the meantime.
Yeah, and that's why I thought it was an interesting call to go veteran turret gunner instead of trajectory simulator on the other one. But again, if it worked, it worked.
That's right. So John Witherspoon using the tried and true Nantek swarm at 195. This one has crack shots for all of them. 3 of them have marksmanship. Powell Morawski has one of the first next appearances of the First Order. We have Hollow with Proud Tradition and Deuterium Power Cells. Guys, Deuterium Power Cells, that's the regen, like, half-tech, half-modification card, I believe. What are the conditions for actually regening? It does two things, isn't it?
Yeah, it does two things. Yeah. So I fly it a lot. I like it on Latin Reg. During the system phase, you can choose to take a weapon's disabled to regenerate a shield. You can also, when you get a token that is not a target lock, an orange or a red token, you can opt to take a stress by spending a charge. So basically, you can regen and then get rid of your weapons disabled token that same turn just by taking a stress. So you can regen and only end up with a stress instead of a weapons disabled. And it also works real well if you're fighting against an ion. If you get ionized, you can swap out that ion and turn it into a stress instead.
All right, yeah. And then in that list as well, we have two Upsilon class shuttles. Pretty interesting archetype there. We haven't seen double shuttles in a while. I think the last person I remember flying something like this was Brad, where you have an Ace and two of these Upsilon shuttles. So Tavsin, of course, does what Tavsin does, gets tons of actions. Captain Phasma locking down some of the stress, hull upgrade, biohexacrypt codes, giving Hollow, I'm sure, some extra flexibility to be able to solo some more and get some extra actions. And Petty Officer Thanissen is great backup there with some of the tractor ability, I believe, right? Being able to give enemy ships tractor tokens, or I'm trying to remember how exactly that one is worded. Thaisin.
Yeah, it's range one, I think, and if they get a stress, you can change it to a tractor or something like that, a range one in arc.
Yep, during the activation phase or engagement phase after an enemy ship at range 0 to 2 gains a stress token, you may spend one charge, and if you do, that ship gains one tractor token. All right, so just trying to get in some big damage, and obviously those Upsilons are heavy hitters. Ryan Fleming brings a pretty interesting scum list, and Carson Ray some resistance here. Will, go ahead and break down those two.
All right, let's start with Ryan Fleming. He has some M3A interceptors. There's Leighton Ashara, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 totaled then. M3A interceptors to Sorry Point veterans with marksmanship and auto blasters. So really leaning into getting those outmaneuver crits to land hits on those aces, and just using the surprisingly, man, M3As have really turned around lately. Maybe they were underrated before. Maybe we're utilizing them. You don't normally see the Tassari Point veterans, though. So it's an interesting choice to take the marksmanship to get those bullseyes, guaranteeing the crits on the auto blaster.
Yeah, I mean, really quickly, with the M3As, so a couple things happened, right? So the points came down just a little bit, and the cannons, this auto blaster especially, got placed at a point value where it's usable. It's usable. So now the M38s actually have a role, and they're this cannon carrier. We've seen them bringing tractor beams, ion cannons, or auto blasters if you're going full offense. And it's really interesting to see these ships that most of us, when it came to competitive play, wouldn't even have thought twice to build a list with. Continue.
Yes.
Go ahead.
The auto blasters do remind me of like the Nantex Bullseye, to where, man, if you got all four of these auto blaster bullseyes, range one, even marksmanship crits, it could be just as deadly. No crack shot, though. So, also no turret. But did pretty well with it, obviously.
Oh, yeah. And then next one?
Who's up next?
Carson Ray.
I'm reading out. Oh, yeah, Carson Ray, you said. Always a fan of the Resistance, taking Ray with Corsella, Rose, Finn, Contraband, Hull, and Raising Millennium Falcon. Corsella's the dual blue, clear your stress, all your stress. Got ZZ with Heroic Advanced Optics, and Lulo Lumpar with Lone Wolf and Heroic. Interesting to see Lulu out there, Lulo. But I guess people really do not like Tally. She does struggle to put out some offense sometimes.
Yeah.
And scared of spending that focus. But I guess ZZ doesn't care. He only got two agility.
Yeah, ZZ is the defensive tank, right, of the A-Wings, and Lulo is the puncher. And honestly, I think this is the only instance of Lulo in the entire tournament out of 265 lists that we have here. We have a ton of A-Wings, but that's the only Lulo there. And I think, I wonder if we picked Carson's brain, if it's mostly because it might be an archetype that he's used to. For most of second edition, I've seen him fly a lot of Lulo plus another big ship and some other type of support. So this has been, like, he was flying Poe for a while with a couple of A-Wings, and now Rey. And let's take a second to talk about Rey. She is the top resistance pilot out of all of them. That has, in terms of performance, absolutely fantastic. Just really good at punching hard and coming in a lot of different variations as well. This one, the Corsella version, with all the toys being able to acquire the Tiger Locks with Rose, Finn adding the extra blank to just give you more modifications. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. Additionally, I have been asked before, Dion, why do you do these shows where you guys just read down these lists? I think it's important for a couple of reasons, and I wanted to take a break here. It's important to realize that while the Nantex did win the event, there are a lot of players who brought a lot of different lists who did well. Like, we're in the top cut of a really big event, and you guys can see the amount of variety already that we've been able to go through. And these are not only players that we know, like Ryan Fleming and Carson Ray, those are two players that a lot of us, those names have been around in X-Wing for a long time. But there are also some unknowns, some new people who are starting to make a splash with lists that you maybe didn't expect. So we'll keep going here. Alrighty. So go ahead, Ryan, with the next two. Michael Turner and Brendan Osman Damon, excuse me.
So Michael Turner, we have another type of Rey and two A-Wings, bringing Rey with Corsella, Rose, Finn, Contraband, and Rey's Millennium Falcon. ZZ with Heroic and Cluster Missiles and Advanced Optics. And Tally with Heroic, Cluster Missiles, and Advanced Optics. I was really surprised when I saw this because we rarely see missiles on A-Wings overall.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at it, I was like, that's kind of odd. Why wouldn't you do something like pick a normally considered better missile? And I think clusters actually could have some play with ZZ because ZZ's ability, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do an attack, and then you can spend a focus if you want. Or, well, no, you have to do the lock. Because unless ZZ sets up a lock the prior turn, which can definitely do, because clusters are range 1 to 2 and not out to 3, so primary 3. So acquire the lock early, be in a good defensive spot, say behind a gas cloud, rush in, have a focus, and then you have mods twice for it. Tally, on the other hand, I'd be curious how often those clusters came into play for Tally. But Rey 2As has had good success. This is just an odd variation.
Yeah, the cluster missile,
in my eyes, at least.
You're right. I think the cluster missile is probably just some type of tech versus swarm, right? Being able to have that opportunity to hopefully do the double attacks versus something like the Nantex list that we're about to get to, where a lot of times they are in a group and you would have an opportunity to trigger it. I guess the question is, how are you setting up that target lock? Obviously, Michael did really well. He got into the top cut. But that's what I'd like to know from Michael, is how'd you set up the locks and how often did those cluster missiles actually come into play?
Mm-hmm. And then we have Brendan Osman Damon, you said?
Mm-hmm.
With the 6 Nantex, almost all of them with Crackshot, actually went down to, I think, one of the biggest Nantex bids we've seen at 10 points.
Mm.
Only 5 of them having Crackshot. Most people stop the bid at 192.
Yes. Absolutely. So pretty interesting there. 190. Now, let's take a second. Let's take a pit stop and talk about the Nantex, the elephant in the room. We actually, there was a total, I think, of 17 instances of Nantex lists that had more than 4 or 5, like four to six Nantecs in it. And I think that percentage is actually really, really good with so many lists, 265. And it was also great to see the variety starting to actually make a difference. So, again, while the Nantecs did win, it was Fawn, and Fawn is an amazing player. We saw these lists losing. Like, they weren't cannibalizing each other. If you actually go through and look at the matchups, you will see these Nantecs lists losing to other list archetypes. People are starting to figure out how to play against them, and I think that's important with the growth of the meta. Is the list still really good and powerful, and should it probably go up in points? Yes. Are people starting to find solutions? Slowly but surely, yes. Is it going to be a meta contender for Coruscant? Absolutely. But I think that you still have other options. And go ahead, actually, take the next one too, Ryan.
All right, we have, I can't see the name. Oh, Marcelo Boldrin, mm-hmm, running a separatist list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm reading 6 Techno Union Hyena Bombers, with all of them having proximity mines, all of them with delayed fuses, and all of them with landing struts. I think the last variation we saw of this, not all of them had delayed fuses and landing struts. I think the last person that I recall seeing in a high cut with this opted for a couple of Discord missiles.
Absolutely. All right, Marcel, take the next two.
All right, we got Tim Sicardi, and he's flying a Rebel Squad with Wedge, Proton Torpedoes, Luke, also with Proton Torpedoes, and then Nora Wexley with Ion, Advanced Proton Torpedoes, and Seismic Charges, coming in at 197. It's a list that hits hard and hits fast at initiative 5 and 6. So, again, to your point earlier about people building lists around getting to the Nantecs, this is an example of it, trying to throw Nora in there and then just throwing four dice with three different ships, trying to erase a couple before they shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also got a First Order list from Scott Olofsson, or Deslin. It's Kylo with Commander Malrus and Proud Tradition, Epsilon, and 3 Epsilon Squadron Cadets. Kind of interested on Proud Tradition on Commander Malrus. You take that Proud Tradition off, you fit Terex in there.
Well, check this out. I noticed the same thing. Scott is one of our 6-0s in Swiss.
Yep.
So I don't know what's the secret sauce that Scott found, but there's something that's working with the Proud Tradition versus Terex. I was also surprised because when I glossed it over, I thought I was going to see Terex. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess I'm assuming that he's actually bringing Malrus into the fight more. I mean, I know you need to be in range for the ability, but that focus token that you're getting from Proud Tradition, maybe after stopping?
Yeah, I wonder if he's bringing debris as well. So he could just truck right through the debris, still taking focuses.
I mean, if I were taking my guess, I would say he just wanted a bid for Kylo. Like, you bring Terex, you don't have a bid.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
It's very true. We actually did catch a game of his on stream. So when those go up, which I think should be going up tomorrow, because we did have everything kind of rough cut last night and starting to get them up on YouTube. So watch out for that one. Really, really, really cool loadout and a first appearance of the Psi shuttle or XI shuttle in this cut.
Yep, and I'm liking these sikes. I hadn't played it till today. Today was the first day I played one, and I really enjoyed it. I'm liking them.
Yep, and there's to comment on some of the things that people are saying here in the chat, by the way, if you are listening in the future, join us live. Be part of the conversation. Captain Sorensen saying that Proud Tradition gives more options with the red maneuvers. Absolutely. Also, I saw somebody comment earlier that it's great as defensive tech on Malrus, because Malrus does become a target with those rerolls that are out there. And Kylo taking the strain from from Malrus can really easily get rid of those. We saw that there was a couple of times where he had to do the reroll, and it wasn't a huge deal because silencers have all the blues in the world. Next two here, we got Jelte de Boer. He was a finalist in Worlds in 20... A number, I'm forgetting. Worlds finalist, Jelte de Boer, bringing...
2018.
I believe you. Bringing Ray, again, one of the biggest hammers that the Resistance has. And not two, but three. Was able to fit three A-Wings in there by completely stripping out Rey. She has just raised Millennium Falcon title, giving her the flexibility to do those boosts, the sloops and the rotates when stressed, and bringing the necessary equipment that you bring on the A-Wings with Heroic and Advanced Optics. That's ZZ, Tally, and Greer. Played really, really well. The one game that we did have him on stream, he did lose, but it actually was versus a very strange list. I'll call it strange, which is right above us, which we're on your screen right there. And this is Joshua Kuntz, who also brought Ray with all the toys and paired it with Vinny. If you said in your mind, who is Vinny? That's a Star Fortress. What's a Star Fortress? That's a ship, a large base ship that the Resistance has that practically nobody's played, and we have seen its first appearance in a top cut in one of these Galactic Championship qualifiers. Vinny's ability says that when Vinny's being attacked by an enemy ship who's in a friendly ship's turret arc, including its own, can add a focus result to that defense. That can make it really tanky, especially if you're rolling results. And this Vinny has Trajectory Simulator, Pattern Analyzer, Perceptive Copilot, Veteran Turret Gunner, Page Tico, Proton Bombs, Seismic Chargers, and a Shield Upgrade. It is a 99-point Star Fortress. And this thing, we got it on stream a couple times. It refused to die. Perceptive Copilot Vinny combo, that alone was absolutely amazing to see it do work versus a couple of different list archetypes. Rise of the Star Fortress, what do you guys think? You guys in Star Fortress meta? Yeah? You guys look convinced. Let's continue. Hey, listen. Joshua made it all the way to the top. Was it top eight? I'm looking at my list right now.
I do love the combination of Veteran Turret Gunner and Page Tico, where you can shoot and then rotate and then shoot again.
Yep.
Man.
Yeah.
So good.
He made it to the top 16. Top 16 of a 265 person tournament. Real good. I want to go back and look at through his matches. We don't have the time to do that right now, but I want to see what he played against, because wow, absolutely amazing. Next two, go ahead, take it, Will.
All right, this is Michael. Oh man, you're gonna have to help me with this one. Scott. What?
No, you
what
suffer. That? That's you. Sknodit. Sknodit.
Sknodit. Sounds exactly correct. Anyways, running Galactic. This is with an Omicron pilot. That's the Lambda class generic with Sloan. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4 Academies, 1 Wampa, and an Alpha Interceptor as well. So a variation on the Sloan 6, where you just bring a Sloan carrier and 6 ships with it. This one's sneaking in some 3 attack dice ships with that Alpha and Wampa.
A TIE Fighter swarm. Yeah, I mean, is this a Sloan list or is it a TIE Fighter list?
It's a Sloan list, I mean. like I said, I kind of group all these into like Sloan plus 6 things to die.
Yep.
You pick the ones you want to fly and get it done. We've seen with the Reapers. This one has the Lambda.
Flavored taste.
These are all I1s as well.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
You got some blocking potential there. Pretty interesting. Like when I saw the Wampa in there, I was like, hopefully it did some work and you got the Interceptor. I do like the fact that he has some combined arms, right? So you have, what is that, 5 mm-hmm. TIE Fighters, 1 Interceptor. Get a little bit of flavor
in
there.
Yeah, so you do, Yeah, you get a flanker, essentially. You got a dedicated ace.
It's like,
he just happens to move at I-1.
Just ignore me. I'm just coming around the mountain. All right, and what about the next one? Brian Terwilliger. Terwilliger.
Terwilliger. This is another four Kashyyyk defenders, AP5 list. They've been popular. Man, what a couple points to get that fifth ship in the Kashyyyk defender list has really changed the game. They really love that AP5. It's being able to stop, fly through debris, barrel roll, do all the things they need to keep those big ol' arcs on target.
I think that this is one of those lists, and I think maybe we've said this before, but flying carpets, right? I think the flying carpets would be the list that everybody would be triggered on right now if the Nantex didn't exist. I think it would be one of the big bads out there that people would be upset about. It's a lot of health. 180 degree arcs times 4. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right, Ryan, take the next two.
All right, we have Kyle
Borgullet.
Wow. Okay.
Borgullet.
Borgullet.
There
I'll
you go.
With that. Separatist list: General Grievous in the Bubble Lab with Crackshot and Solus One. Captain Seer with Kraken. Two Trade Federation drones with Discord missiles and grappling struts, and then just two Trade Federation with grappling struts only. So the six ship list, opting to throw in two bubble labs, Grievous being that really good flanker that he is, and then Seer using his ability along with Kraken, which Kraken on lesser amount of droids is better than TA-175. TA-175 is better than that with more droids. Surprising you don't just drop the four struts for one more Discord missile. I feel like that might be worth it. But either or, it worked well for Kyle.
And then Drew Farron, another Nantex list here. 6 Crackshot, 3 Predator. Go ahead, take John's as well. A little bit of a variation here.
Let me see here. Did I actually close that out? Sturdy. There we go. Where'd it go? There it is. Okay. John Semenik.
Mm-hmm.
Another Separatist list. Grievous with Daredevil, Solus One, Chairtech, 2 I-4 Nantex, and then DGS, Old 47 in the HMP, with cluster missiles, Kalani, and repulsor stabilizers. So we're seeing the first iteration of a HMP, I believe, in the top cut, let alone Kalani at the same time, used to help those Nantex getting their rerolls on offense because they normally don't have any. So no Predator and no Crackshot, but we have Kalani to help that out. And DGS 047 is probably the best HMP gunship to utilize cluster missiles because of its innate ability that after an attack, if the enemy ship is in your front arc, which they were, if you shot the cluster missiles, you acquire lock. And if they were in your bullseye, they get a strain. So that second shot with cluster missiles could be even more dangerous. Curious on the Daredevil call on Grievous, though. I feel like that should just be crack shot. Probably just how someone flies. But if you treat it like Von Reg a little bit, where you can do more straight or bank maneuvers and then decide later if you want to commit back in, you do that hard boost with Daredevil. Or you can just play it safe and move your way around further away until you want to really rush in for the kill.
Yeah, so this is the best performance of an HMP gunship in the event, I believe, top 16. I think there's one other one that we're going to run into. Well, one of the top finishes for an HMP gunship in that list. Marcel, go ahead, take the next couple.
All right. We've got Enrico Coupe, also known as Eno, and he's flying a 200-point scum and villainy with G4R.
Gargor.
Gargor? Is that what you call him? Gargor?
Yeah.
He's the one that takes like a crit or something like that, right?
When you shoot, when you fire at him, enemies at range zero take a critical damage.
Got it. Okay, so he's basically your blocker.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real list, which is Boba and Darth Maul with proximity minus and the shield upgrade. No title on him. And then you've got Dengar and the Jumpmaster with Predator, Jamming Beam, Dead Man Switch, and Punishing One with Wrecked. So he can use that on Gargor. Yeah, it's an interesting list. It's Yeah, I'm curious to see. Actually, this is one of the ones I'd be curious to see how he flew it. It's just pretty interesting. Then Matt Carey, again, always at the top of these tournaments. Mm-hmm. He's flying a resistance, basically a Ray, a similar variant to all of the ones. I'm getting all the like Facebook. anyway. So it's Ray, ZZ, and Tally. And this is probably the missiles that you see more often on these,
mm-hmm.
With heroic proton rockets and advanced optics. So this heroic advanced optics and Procket Tally is 2 points cheaper than the one that than the Lulo that Carson was flying. And it's probably going to stay around longer as well. But again, Carson's got, if he knows how to use them, he knows how to use them. Just solid. I mean,
yeah,
pretty straightforward and solid list. And you're seeing, I think, just if I want to throw something else on there.
Yeah.
I know that there's an initiative, like a bidding war at I-4 because of the bugs. Real big bidding war at I-5. I think it's been like that for a long time, but you're either going full 200 or you got to go a deep bid because all these I-5s trying to beat the bugs also have to beat each other out. And it becomes a big deal.
Yeah, man. It's definitely. And also, another Ray. Starting to see a pattern here. It's not the last one, by the way. So looking at some of the next couple, we have Don Walker bringing a Rebel list. Jan Ors, a Hawk, 290, making it into the cut here. Jan is the one that gives that additional attack die by taking a stress with Moldy Crow. Hera Syndulla with Intimidation, Zeb, Saw Gerrera, and Wedge. We did see Don play on stream. He had an unfortunate set of circumstances where Hera went down real, real fast. It basically was Jan versus the world. But you could see the idea here is just pop some things real hard in the face with the VCX. You can get it even an additional die. 6 dice attack, the max in the game that it allows. And Wedge, this is essentially an alpha strike list is the way I look at it. It's just trying to delete things before it gets to shoot at initiative 5. Then Ian Becker bringing our first appearance here of Warthog in the top 32 with Warthog with Clone Commander Cody in Arc 170, the 104th Battalion pilot, and 4 Gold Squadron troopers. I like this loadout. I know some people are using just Torrance, but having the Arc 170 in there gives some really nice flexibility. We got to see Ian on the stream, and having the combined arms, a little bit of different ships available, having that extra 4 dice attack in there, that's not a 3 dice attack, something you can punch a little harder through things that have more agility dice. Really, really great combo. And if you're not familiar with Warthog, it essentially says my ships cannot be initiative killed. It's essentially its ability. Really, really strong. And this is an archetype that we're going to continue to see. The Warthog Swarm will be around for a long time. A real long time. All right. Will, take the next couple.
All right. This is Lucas. I know him, but I do not know how to say his last name. The Z's always mess with me.
Ponchensi. I'll take it. I'll take it on me. It's my fault. <All right>. Lukasz P.
Anyways, this is a Rebel list. It's got Han Solo with a trick shot, R2, Kanan Jarrus, Hull A and Shield. Oof. Sick. With A and the Millennium Falcon. Oof. That's 115 point Han Solo. And he's backed up by Leia and the YT-1300 as well. So a double pancake list. It's been a while since we've seen that. This Han's got all the tricks. Healing, white maneuvers for clearing stress, and oh, so much health between that whole shield upgrade and R2-D2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in the synergy between that. So I guess you could like Sloop and then Kanan to clear some stress. And then boost. I guess you could just be boosting as well.
Well, yeah, I think also Leia is just cheaper than just Nian Nam. I think that's kind of the big one. She's because you don't have, I mean cheaper than Lando because you don't have to take Nian. Yeah.
I think Nine's a crutch on Lando, personally, but I can see the benefits of having Leia, who can just target lock and force on a turret platform is really, really good. Just every round, three shots or three dice, double modified.
And by the way, anybody who's wondering, we're in the top eight lists right now. Lukasz is a top eight. Ian Becker, also top eight.
We haven't seen much from Han, but that loadout's still very, very good. Between the force point, the shield healing, the evade rerolling, his rerolling, man, a lot of defense.
Yep, and then Daniel has another Nantex list here, all crack shot marksmanship. Go ahead, and Will, I'll give you this fun one. Go ahead, Octocon's list. This is a treat right here.
Yeah, I've seen. I'm glad he brought it back. He was off on different scum. I went back to Bossk, so I'm glad to see Bossk doing well. This is Bossk with all the things. Crack shot, Forlom, Zuckuss, Greedo, Deadman Switch, and Electronic Baffle. Now that is a party bus. Has Boba Fett also loaded down with so many people, a party in here as well, with Perceptive Copilot, Lone Wolf, Proxy Mines, Contraband Cybernetic, Hull Upgrade, Murado Title to take Han Solo. Can clear stress, boost if need be, and still have double focus plus Lone Wolf. The definition of an in-game ship in that loaded out 128-point Boba Fett. Oroa, that's a known commodity. What isn't, though, is an electronic baffle, dead man switch, Bossk. Who can just decide to kill himself if he's got a red token, which he will, because Forlom gives him red tokens.
Yep.
It's actually a way to prevent yourself from being ionized, being able to do white maneuvers while also getting stress from Zuckuss rerolls. Surprisingly deadly. It's going to go down quick if you're not reinforcing, but... Well, yeah, whatever. We can take care of the rest of it.
So we got to see this list on stream, and it is tailor-made to take out Nantex list. He was 3-0 in the tournament versus them.
I bet.
Boss comes in and just lays waste. Absolutely lays waste. Is in range one, dies, and softens everything up, and then Boba Fett just does his thing, right? And we've seen a pattern now. Slave one, Boba Fett has not showed up yet in this cut. Spoilers, it won't. Marauder saying, you know what? The strategy with Boba Fett, we're going old school. Use the back arc. Use the back arc. And once you have only Boba Fett left in the list, the Nantex are going to chase you. Where else they have to go, and that means you have right. You have the back arc, and if you're in the back arc, you're using the bombs that are there. We did get to see Okta play against a Nantex list. I will tell you that his opponent did put up a pretty good fight, but Boss came in and did some great things. Watch that game. Absolutely fantastic. It'll be on YouTube here in a week or two. Ryan, go ahead and take the next two. I think we are scooting into the top four now. Yes.
I think Okta was in the top four.
Yeah,
So we have Sebastian Demers running the, third instance of the four Kashyyyk Defenders and AP5 Rebel list in the top cut. So not much more to say on that. Is that the farthest it's gone in the Galaxy's event so far?
No.
Top four?
We had a, yes, Drew Brody was also in the top four with the same thing.
So it hasn't been in a final, but it's been in a top four. So very good showings for sure. And then we have Kenneth Leon, who made it to the final using First Order, Hollow with Proud Tradition, and three Saner Jameis Engineer silencers, the one red to three black pointy ratio.
It's just good. It's just good. Now, congratulations now to Fon Langelan. He was our champion. Absolutely fantastic player. 192-point Petronaki Arena Ace list, all with crack shot, and played like a god. I will tell you, the dice in the final were ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Bad offense for Fon and great defense for Kenneth. It is an entertaining game on that alone. But props to Fon for how patient he was. If you watch that final, he didn't get triggered. He just continuing to play his game and was able to win that two-hour final. Now, there's a note. Now, Bruno did bring it up, and I had it in my notes here, so it's fantastic. We've talked a few times about the final and the fact that it's 2 hours. At 75 minutes, Kyle was the winner. If it was a normal game, Kyle was the winner. Now, you could argue as well that maybe the moves would have been different, right? We're just talking about time. You do play different when you're aware of how much time you have left, so there's some argument there for sure. But it is interesting to note that this list, the Sinars and Hollow, they were in the fight at the 75-minute mark. So just pretty interesting there. And we'll see what happens in the future. But it was really great to see so many different lists make the top 32. We did have some iterations that kept coming back. And if you go down into the four-win category, there are some other things that were close. They were on the cusp of winning. Now, if you haven't checked out, if you like stats, if you haven't checked out Pink Brain Matter, there's stats for days in here. It's really interesting if you want to take a look at the cut rate for each of the factions. You can see there the pilots that got flown for each one, the top ones. It's really great. Notice that in that top 32, we had very little Empire. Very little Empire. Darth Vader was the most popular ship in the Empire, but did not show up. Did not show up in that top 32. So just very interesting. Lots of stats here. I'm going to link both of these in the description of this video so that you guys can take a look in here. You can also see for each pilot the breakdowns there. This page does need to be updated, though, because it doesn't have the Psy Shuttle in there yet. But, it's just absolutely great. Congratulations to all the players. Now, the next thing I wanted to talk about was the performance of the new wave of ships. The Xi Shuttle, we saw there was 21 of them showed up. 21 different ones. And it made the top 32. But it was fourth in Swiss, so that's something to kind of keep in mind there. The LAT, 27 LATs showed up in the tournament. Best placement was top 8. And the HMP gunship, 15 of them showed up, top 16. So one of the things we talked about going into this, and I want each of your guys' opinion here, was, I know that a lot of people were worried about Nantex going into this. I actually was really excited the fact that this event, Crate, had so many participants. 200, we had 288 people, but life happened and we ended up at 265. But still, that is a significant amount of players. That is a lot of data. We had good placements for all of the wave ships. Do you think that the amount of diversity, and there is a lot of list diversity in this. It's on List Fortress already. Go take a look. There's a lot of different lists, a lot of different pilots in there. Do you think the list diversity was mostly because of new toys, like just the excitement of new toys? Or are these new toys actually going to make a lasting difference rolling into Ryloth, Mustafar, which, by the way, remember, Mustafar is hyperspace, and then Coruscant? What do we think? Marcel, I'll let you start.
Sure. So I think the answer is yes on the number of ships. I don't think you'll see, even if you had another 260-something, I don't think you'll see 30-something, 20-something, 15 again.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes down to, you know, can they beat the bugs? Not without getting really favorable circumstances. Whether that's the Nantex player making a mistake or just getting some really favorable dice. Like you said, in the final, everything was stacked against Fawn, you know, luck-wise, but mm-hmm. he still won. So I think the answer is, I don't think you'll see the same type because they just can't compete at the same level. However, I think the Psy Shuttle plus the LAT really have I think that they're going to continue to do well. I think they're going to make cuts. I don't know how far in the cuts they'll make, mm-hmm. but specifically the Warthog with, you know, kind of like what Ian Becker had, like the Warthog with five other ships.
Yep.
Or the Psy Shuttle with I think the Psy Shuttle probably has a little bit more flexibility on how you can fly the Psy Shuttle. Like, I think you can do the Psy Shuttle as a support. Like, I flew it earlier today with Major Von Regge in Quick Draw, and the Psy Shuttle was just sitting there throwing out. Basically, it was serving the Upsilon's role at a much cheaper price than the Upsilon. So I think the Psy Shuttle's probably got a little bit more variety because you can use it as a swarm, and you can also use it as a traditional support for your Kylo or whatever your aces are. So I guess what I'm saying is you're still going to see them make the cut. People are still going to fly them because I think they're enjoyable. And I think other people do as well. I just don't think they're at the level in the current meta to really win consistently. You might get something anecdotal where you have one of them go to the top four or go to the final. But that's just kind of more of an anecdotal, you know, things falling in the right place. Not because if you take 10 people with that same list, you're not going to have 5 or 6 of them make the cut. You're going to get one of them to make the cut, where the real powerful ones, which are basically Rey and 2 A-Wings, in my view, the Kashyyyks or the Nantex, those are the ones that if you take 10, you're going to get multiples in the cut.
All right. So we got a question here. Do you guys think the spam techs would be so dominant in quote-unquote real games since TTS is so much easier in terms of bumping and also hands bumping ships and clusters? That's an interesting question. As effective, I think it'd play way slower. And I think it's dependent on whether your list likes more time or less time. That could definitely be a benefit. Maybe aces would have more of a chance in a longer game because you just like pick at them, and I don't know. That's musings there. Ryan, what are your thoughts here on the new ships in how they affected this meta for Crate?
So I see you have the best placement numbers, but do we actually have the cut conversion rate? Like, there were this many, but there's actually this many in cut, so that percentage of those ships made it in?
I was trying to use this, and it didn't have the Psy Shuttle on there. I know the LAT is here.
Well, from our breakdown, I only saw one.
There was only
HMP.
One.
I only saw one Lant. There was what, two Malorises?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a second one?
I feel like the Psy shuttle had the, at least out of the three, the best conversion percentage. So I think overall, the new ships, I do think they were brought because it's new and people are trying things. But the ability for them going forward, I agree, the Psy and the Lat are going to be the two to look out for. HMP might surprise us in a couple spots, but I don't, not while Nitex are around, I think. We've already seen good success with the Psy shuttle, both with and without Kylo, which shows in the First Order faction that's very promising, because in most cases it was, if you didn't have a list with Kylo, or Holo, I guess Holo was starting to show good success in Holo plus many things lists. The Lat can plug into many variations of Republic lists. We didn't see, or I don't recall seeing much of Lat plus Jedi Ace styles. We only saw Warthog plus Arcs. I don't know if there was any Lat plus Aces that were close to cut, that like just missed it. Let's scroll down List Fortress real quick here.
So we had the next closest after... So Isophane was the closest one after that. Daniel Lim with Warthog.
Just another Warthog style, yeah.
Warthog style list. We had Warthog with Plo and a couple of Arcs.
Okay, yeah. I've seen people swapping out an Arc if they do three Arcs in Warthog and plugging in like Plo or Obi if they can.
Well, here's an interesting visual representation, okay? If you guys look at the very edge of your screen, right? So I'm just using Finder. Each one of these yellow lines represents an instance of a Lat, right? So if we kind of compare those three lines here, we have about, you see the Lat's kind of middling overall. If we go Psy shuttle, Psy class, more spread out, less instances overall, but more concentrated towards the top. And then the HMP is the rarest of them all, very spread out, but most of them is in that lower half.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't change too much, maybe a little bit more on the increase of the Lat. I think Psy shuttle is probably going to be potential middling and above average with some in cut. I think the Lat definitely has room to grow. HMP might see a bit more, but like I had mentioned previously, it's underwhelming. I have played around with more lists where maybe there's potential, but it's kind of a reach.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
All right. And Will, your thoughts?
Oh, I think we're still working on the exact list. Obviously, the heavy hitters, heavy hitters is not the right descriptor for these support ships, but standout pilots in Warthog and Malorus. We really don't have that standout pilot yet for the HMP. Other than, I guess, the generic. So, as time goes on, they'll be more and more refined in the list. And I think that, they're still new, right? And a lot of, even though there was a lot of early adopters, I still think a lot of people have that mindset that, you know, just play, if I want to do good, let's just play what I know and let's not go experiment. Mm-hmm. And kind of stuck to their old ways for the time being. But I think with those types of players who want to get those practice reps in and really want to refine a squad, they'll have their time to do it. While everybody else is kind of chasing the Nantex. Does that make sense? So it's kind of two real thoughts, processes on what are you trying to actually get out of the new ships. I don't think everybody's exactly looking for that Nantex counter, but because you do have to beat all the other things still.
You do. So, excited to see how they continue to develop, what other things people come up with. And now I'm gonna address the elephant in the room again, okay? I have to say it again. I know and I have seen the tags for people. Dione, just ban the Nantex. Listen, I have stated that I do not plan on changing the rules of engagement for this tournament. This tournament will be a commentary on this current meta and how things are. Okay, if the Nantex win the whole thing, we have the evidence out there. It is, but I don't think it's fair to the players to change it on them because that wasn't part of the plan for when they entered it. That's that. But never fear, after we're done with Galaxies, we have something coming up that we talked about it already. The Flight Club Season 1. Nantex will not be a problem in that. I can guarantee it. Okay? I promise I'll be able to clear your everybody who wants the bug spray. You're going to get plenty of bug spray because people might be able to bring them for, you know, a couple of them, but you won't play against six of them. Promise, okay? Not altering the deal. So that's that. Let's jump into lists of the week. We got three of them that we're going to cover here. By the way, stick with us. If you're watching live, we're going to be playing Squadrons after this in about 20 minutes. Super excited. It's the first time I'm actually playing with people that I know. And we'll get to talk about how good or bad we are. And that'll be after the show. By the way, and it won't be on our podcast recording. This is just for funsies. This is just for live. That's it. And if anything really cool happens, Ryan can have the footage. So let's go ahead and break this down. Jonathan Guerin sent us a list here. Psych J7. Let's go ahead and let's plop this over here. Brought an Imperial list and says, during crate, I've discovered the power. By the way, this is one of our top cut players. During crate, I've discovered the power of concussion bombs. For its cost and also its drawback. Wanted to build a list that pushed its usefulness while keeping the bomber safe from its own effect, as ablative plating does not work. Thoughts on improving this list? Here we go. So Death Rain has trajectory simulator, concussion missiles, skilled bombardier, ion bombs, concussion bombs, for 65 total points, red line with proton torpedoes, concussion missiles, and angled deflectors, and then Lieutenant Tsai in the land of the shuttle with Moff Jerjerad and SC-321. Anybody who doesn't know what Moff Jerjerad does, it says during the system phase you may spend two charges, and if you do, choose the one bank or one forward template, and each friendly ship may perform a red boost action using that template. Take it away, Will.
Ryan's doing this one, I hope.
Ryan, in big red. Big red. I was just looking at your beautiful face, and I said your name. I'm sorry. Ryan, take the wheel.
All right. So, there's a couple weird overlaps in upgrades that I don't think are necessary at first. Mm-hmm. So let's just kind of get those out of the way real quick. We don't need proton torpedoes and concussion missiles on red line. That's unnecessary. Let's just dump concussion missiles on red line. We only need proton torpedoes. And while we're at it, sure, I guess red line can reinforce and then acquire a lock or via Lieutenant Tsai's ability, Lieutenant Tsai could coordinate or reinforce to red line, who can then acquire a lock, and then Tsai can also reinforce with that, and then red line can actually move into his ability. It's a lot of stuff. Let's just keep it simple. Red line is always better with advanced sensors. So drop angled deflectors and put on advanced sensors.
Agreed.
Now, then we get into the issue of Moff Jerjerad conflicting with red line having advanced sensors and Death Rain's ability. Because Moff Jerjerad is during system phase at I3 for Psy, and then Deathrain, who wants to drop a bomb and then do an action that won't be able to combine. So Moff Jaredirad forcing a stressful boost doesn't really go well with that. I think I'm actually going to completely drop Psy. I think I have a better third ship that's not going to put all the weight of the world on these Punishers. So then we're going to optimize Death Rain just a bit here. We're going to get rid of Concussion Missiles and Skilled Bombardier. We're going to swap Ion Bombs for Seismic Charges. Seismic Charges with Death Rain Trajectory Sim, it's too effective. That zone area of bombing is very big to throw out a seismic into potentially multiply affecting obstacles and then choose the one you want to go off. From there, I've been kind of talking about this in the past. I think it is worth looking into. We're going to throw Diamond Boron Missiles as the missile of choice. You have two open slots, and there's a lot of multi-ship with same agilities going around right now. So we're going to throw that on there. Death Rain becomes a maximum zone of don't go here for multiple ships because you have the Trajectory Simulator and you have the Diamond Boron Missile for more splashing damage. 65 points left. Who's our favorite Imperial Ace of Legend? Soontir Fel.
Soontir Fel.
We're going to keep them pretty light, actually. We're going to just go Crackshot Targeting Computer. And we have 6 points. You can either keep that bit, but I do like throwing delayed fuses on Death Rain. So that way we have an I6 Ace who has good offensive potential, not a ton of points invested into him. He can late game if he's left alone. Redline and Death Rain both are going to draw a lot of aggro. Redline can play a little more AC because he has advanced sensors and choose his engagement betters, while Death Rain zones people out.
Fantastic. So we have Death Rain, Trajectory, Diamond Boron, Concussion Bombs, Seismic Charges, Delayed Fuses, 62 points. Redline, Advanced Sensors, Proton Torpedo, 74 points. And Soontir, Crackshot, Targeting Computer for a total of 195. Jonathan, let us know how that goes. All right, next list is going to be, this one is for Will. This one's another Imperial list. Well, this one, a completely different thing here. This is from Zardian, and it says, another week, another Tarkin list. I'm going to keep trying until I see him make cut! Exclamation point. So the only request for this list is that Tarkin stays. Period. I've played against 4 Proton Alphas and it was solid, but suffered a bit from only ever having single modded torps. So here we have repeated double modded shots for 3 of them. So we have Colonel Jenden with Director Krennic and Moff Jarrett, and Grand Moff Tarkin. We have 3 new squadron gunboats. These are the Initiative 2 Alpha class Star Wings with fire control system, proton torpedoes, and the OS-1 arsenal loadout for a total of 200 points. You are muted, my bearded friend.
Man, I'm off my ball on that one today. So I'm just so ready to talk about X-Wing and these lists. So I like the idea of it. It has, as it described, double modifications, a lot of dice in those proton torpedoes, but I'm not seeing a lot of follow-up. Plus, you're moving an I-2, you don't have K-turns. I'm not excited about any of those Alpha class Star Wings after the initial engagement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then what are you doing? So this is actually not the Tarkin part, but Colonel Jenden and Director Krennic is a favorite ship of mine. So I do have a list that I think pairs well with it. And you know what? Honestly, when I do play it, I have struggled to maintain the amount of locks after those initial Jenden locks. So we're going to drop all those news.
New.
Yeah, like I said, they fried good firepower, but they're, the lack of tools that they have, plus now you have four ships who can't K-turn at all. We need some mixed arms up in here. So start with the Grand Inquisitor, because he's going to be our Director Krennic person. What is it called? Optimized Prototype. Likes taking evades, so more often than not has a leftover focus token sitting there, or focus results sitting there that he's not using. This pairs really well with someone else who really likes locks, and that is Merrick Stell. We're going to put Fire Control System on him because he just needs it sometimes. Merrick Stell, after the Grand has shot, hopefully stripped off some shields with Director Krennic, maybe some juiced up attack dice, Merrick can follow through with that lock he already got, so he gets to double mod it. And then we're going to follow up with another I-5. What? That's going to be Tomex Bren. Do you know what Tomex Bren is?
That's a bomber.
That is a bomber. He's one of the cheapest I-5s you can get. And
look at all that value. 35 points.
He's 35 points. Well, his pilot ability is basically blank because we're not going to utilize it.
Are you just Tomax be like, are you just using me for my initiative?
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm one point shy of his crack shot. Like, the point is that he can shoot before Merrick Stell, to get those shields off of there. Normally, I would put on some like plasma torpedoes, but we don't have that many points. So you know me, I also am a fan of the Diamond Boron missiles. If you have two missile slots, they're as good as concussion missiles, if not better. So we're going to put those on there. See, I only have the 1 point. So when you put the crack shot to utilize Tomex Bren's ability, we're overcosted. And even with Moff Tarkin out there, I'm not going to drop that fire control system on Merrick Stell. He needs it too much. That guy loves target locks. So, fortunately, we got to drop off that crack shot. So that leaves Tomex Bren with Diamond Boron, Merrick Stell with fire control system, Grand Inquisitor, Jenden with Director Krennic, and Grand Moff Tarkin. These guys are going to love locks. And they're a little bit more than the just jousting people. You got a couple mid-tier aces. I guess Tomax is just a jouster. But yeah, I think it could do well.
All right, so we have Colonel Jenden with Director Krennic, Moff Tarkin, Grand Inquisitor with no upgrades, Merrick Stell with no upgrades, and Tomex Bren. All right. And last but not least, we have Monty, who submitted the following Republic list. It has the 212 lat gunship, that's the generic, with 7 fleet gunner, and 3 Jedi Knights with battle meditation and calibrated laser targeting. Marcel's going to take this one, and the preface is our local game store is hosting an event, and the rules say that you can have no limited pilots, no unique pilots, no unique upgrades or crew, no heroes allowed. What you gonna do, Marcel?
Two things. One is change what I had originally changed, because I didn't hear that caveat then about not no unique pilot. So I'm going to change the change. And then when before I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do.
Okay.
I'm not going to cheat on stream, William, and break all the rules and say delete everything. Change faction while you're at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what I'm going to do is delete everything, hit the button on the top that says Separatist, and put 6 Nantex. There you go.
Terrible. Terrible.
All right. So having said that, That is what he had.
So at this point, I love how he's processing this live, going, "Oof."
Okay, we're sweating. Okay, so obviously I bumped it up to Warthog. Uh-huh. We're not gonna do that anymore. So I actually like this list. The only thing I had changed, it's not gonna change that much. So one of the things that I changed was take one of those battle meditations.
Uh huh.
And change it to a sense, because it's good to know where your peoples are going.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, it gives us 10 points. Now that we know where people are going, originally I had Warthog with informant, and then one with sense, so I can look at two ship styles. But since this is all generics, looking at ship styles is less important, even though with I3, you're going to run into a lot of I4s. So let's see. We got 10 points.
I'm sorry. Hold on. I gotta say something. I really hope nobody brings Nantex to this person's event, because they fill the rules.
No, but not only that. I mean, you've got initiative four. The fangs are initiative four.
Yeah.
They might bring in the I4 fangs. They might bring the I4 interceptors, phantoms. I mean, there's plenty of I4 stuff that might defenders. There's plenty of I4 stuff that'll make you cry. You know, at this point, I'm just going to throw a little force on there, because everything else is not really very helpful. So let's throw some let's do Plo Koon, because
you can't
212 become,
he's a hero. You can't have him.
He's a hero.
Nothing unique. Is there any way we could squeeze in another Jedi? Can we get another one in there if we like just dumped all the battle meditations?
No, because then it breaks what you actually want to do. Yeah, I mean, you're at 216, but no. We're going to make this work. So we got the battle meditation. All right. So where are we at? I'm just going to look at your screen here.
Okay.
So we are at 190.
You got 10 points after swapping one to sense.
All right. So what we are going to do is we're going to take that sense one.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be our sacrificial lamb. Let's throw. Actually, that's also, good Lord, everything. Everything is unique. All right, so let's throw some R4Ps on there.
All right, those are 2 points each. And call it a day.
We'll do it. Yeah, what are we at? 196?
196 now.
Yeah, it sounds fun. Let's leave it at that.
All right, there you go. So I know Monty.
My dreams with that last sentence,
Monty. I know that isn't a big change, but essentially we're just swapping out one of those battle meditation for sense and add the R4Ps. I think if I had my hands on this, I might have seen if I could squeeze in another ship by taking out the upgrades and just don't worry about the battle meditation. Ship,
you can take
maybe
the
arc.
Lat. No, you take the lat down to a Y-wing with a turret.
Uh-huh.
So just Y-wing turret and a 7th Fleet gunner, and that'll get you the other ship that you need. I mean, if that's what you're
turret
looking for.
And
Sorcel, and then you put 7th Fleet gunner, and then you get rid of all the force upgrades, all the astromechs.
Yeah. Hey, you could keep two of them. You can keep two of them. There you go. So that's another option.
You replace those R4s with one battle meditation, then battle meditation is better than the R4s.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. That's the only list.
There you go. That's mine.
Don't fix it.
All right. So a couple of options there, Monty. I see you are in the chat. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Now, we are starting to run up against the clock here, but I do want to hit some of these questions of the week, because I find them pretty, pretty interesting. Tesleon X stated the following. I found this really, really funny. So he says, have you guys ever been told that your group is quite similar to the Big Bang Theory? I was really confused by this, because I've watched maybe like 4 or 5 episodes in syndication, like as it's been like randomly on, like chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. But so I'm going to go ahead and read this out. It says, we have you, Dion, playing Leonard, a nice, kind of polite, shy guy who wears glasses, by the way, and married to a beautiful girl who plays along with his nerdy habits. Then there's Howard, the suave, kind of cocky guy, Marcel, whose cute wife can put him down with a look. There's also a tall, tall, slender guy, Sheldon, I'm not sure what that word means. Maybe savvy? Savvy, with the I know it all, played by Ryan. And the exotic guy, more quiet and reserved guy, who is, in fact, really smart, but doesn't brag about it. Will. I guess my confusing part is, Ryan's not a Sheldon. I think that is the one that does not fit. Ryan's not a Sheldon.
They paint picture whatever their perspective is.
Ryan's like, I'll own it. I'll own it.
Sure. Why not? Is that fun?
All right. So, Marcel, I know you got to play this weekend a little bit. What were your thoughts on the event? Your experience? How did things go?
I always enjoy these events, and I actually had a good time. I ended up only playing 5 games. I was 3-1, and then towards the fifth game, I didn't throw it. I tried to win, but I tried to win using, you know, one. You shouldn't joust the jousting list, and I jousted Ian's list. I was the one with the lat.
Oh, my goodness.
And I jousted it with Obi-Wan. Like, I threw Obi-Wan and Plo Koon. I was flying Obi, Plo Koon, Hound, and Goji. And I literally went, you know, 5 straight at him twice. But the reason I did that was that was the 5th game, and all 5 games I played Swarm. So I also played Brian Telebeer, who also made the cut, with the 4 Kashyyyks and AP5. I actually beat him on that one. I think I was super tough. And then I played 5 A-Wings because of Concussion Bombs and Ions. And then I, you know, just played a bunch of Swarms, and like, my brain was tired. And then when I saw another 6 ship list, I was like, okay, I'm done. But the event itself was really good. It was really nice to see, I saw my Goji and 2 other Gojis. Uh-huh. So it was nice to see, like, people bringing some variety. I really liked Ian's list. I know I jousted it, but he probably would have beat me anyway. Just really liked that, you know, what he was doing with bringing the Ark in there as another big gun. So I think overall it was really nice. And I actually had more fun. Not that I didn't have fun playing, but I actually had a really good time. Like, I saw the 6th match, and then I saw the cut. I was having a little bit more watching the stream. Because I think you and Nick or whoever does the matchups were doing a really good job of putting some really interesting games. So for me, I actually, even though I played, I enjoyed the games, but I was in a so-so mood to play that day. I think I enjoyed more, like, watching the stream and just kind of, like, seeing the matchups that were coming up. Because there was a lot of good creative lists. And that game that you had with Octocon against the Bugs, I think, it's always nice to see the Bugs get crushed. But to see Boss do it, I don't know, that was special.
Oh yeah. It was fantastic. So hopefully if you were able to watch live, you had a great time. I know I did. I'm looking forward to Ryloth. That's happening in a couple weeks. If you're looking to play, there are still spots left. That is happening during the Warsaw, Poland time zone. And you can get your tickets at GoldSquadronPodcast.com and click on the Galaxies link. And by the way, the week after that, so 3 weeks from this moment in time, is the Musafar Hyperspace event happening in the Dallas, Texas time zone. Should be a good time. Hyperspace, defend the fort, as y'all like to say. We'll see if you guys can defend the fort. That's the question. So thank you for listening, everybody. I had a fantastic time. I'm looking forward to doing some more stuff after our streaming and recording here. So if you're watching live, don't go anywhere. But for those of you listening to the podcast or watching it later, this is Gold Squadron out.